going to be at today, Matthew 7:24-25. Follow along on your bulletin, the monitors, as well as the good book, Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for your anointing in this service, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Thank you for your hand of protection upon us and on our minds, Lord. And let us truly focus on your word. Let us be hungry for your word, and let us leave here changed and refreshed. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. God bless you guys. So like I'm saying, you know, God's working on me. I know he's working on you. So let's not resist what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our lives. Y'all hear what I'm saying this morning? Did you hear what I'm saying? Don't resist what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life. Amen. Don't be fearful about the change that God may be wanting to bring into your life. Listen to that. Don't be fearful, but trust in God. Amen. Let God do his thing. Let God do his thing in our lives. Let's grow in him and be blessed. But we got Matthew 7:24-25. And what this is the tail end of the Sermon of the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, rather. And Jesus is giving like his final statement, kind of tying the whole thing together. And if you're familiar at all with the Sermon on the Mount, we got the Beatitudes, we got them, the Golden Rule, fasting, how to treat others, being a good witness, salt and light. There's just all kinds of good stuff in the Sermon of the Mount where Jesus Christ is telling us how to live that victorious Christian life, where Jesus is telling us how to be that Christian that God has called us to be. And you say, well, that's interesting because I want to be an amazing, awesome Christian. You can't do it on your own. Jesus Christ knows you can't do it on your own, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So we got the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has taken place. The Holy Spirit lives inside you, and you need to be obedient to that still small voice that speaks to you and says, don't do this or do this. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, hey, talk to this person. You know, and that's just as serious as the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't mess with that. You know what I'm saying? We need to be obedient to this Holy Spirit. We need to feed our spirit, man. We need to stay in the Word of God. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And that's pretty much what we revolve around here. We're a Bible church. Can I get a witness? I don't want to be part of any other church that's not a Bible church. You know, but that's what we do here, man. We chew up the Word of God and we apply it to our lives. Amen. So that's what we got going on here. Jesus is wrapping up the Sermon of the Mount, and he's got all this great stuff for us, and he says, this is his closing comments, basically. He's saying, all this teaching that I just gave you guys, do this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Raise your hand if you want to be like a wise person. Can I get a witness? It's not so bad to be remembered as, yeah, one thing about old Paul, he wasn't too much of a bright fella. You know, no, I heard his old lady had to tie his shoes till the day he turned 80. No. Okay, moving forward. Okay, everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. That's what we want to be, who built his house on the rock. The rock's very important, guys. Verse 25, and the rain fell, listen to this, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded or had been built on the rock. First thing I want to point out this morning, man, is God's talking about, he's informing us of something very, very important that sometimes in the Christian world, when we first get saved, we believe a lie somewhere, somehow. We've bought into this thing. Well, once I accept Christ, my problems are over. And everybody in here knows by now that that's simply not the case. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, that's when Satan pretty much puts you in the crosshairs at that point. You just become a problem to him. But everything that we go through in this life as a Christian, God says, I want to use this. I want to bring something positive out of this trial, out of this storm, out of this correction for your own actions, whatever it might be. God says, I want to bring something good out of this. I want to make you more like your big brother, Jesus. So no time is wasted for the believer. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Now check it out. Okay, so he says this, and the rain fell. Okay, not the rain might come. The rain fell. We will have hard times in this earth. That's just how it is. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. It's not an if. We've all heard that statement before. It's not if, it's when. Well, this is a true statement. It's not if, but when. We will go through trials and storms in this world. That's one of the things that Christ is bringing out as he's talking to these people in this amazing sermon. He's saying, you will have trials. You will have hard times. And the people that were receiving this message, they knew that. They were under Roman occupation. They were under the cruel taskmasters of the Romans. They had the burden of the law that they had to try to keep. They had all this weighing on them. They had their own poverty. They had the guilt and the weight of their own sins and transgressions. God says, you will have hard times in this world. Matter of fact, Job, kind of the poster boy for suffering. But if you look at Job 5 and verse 7, let's go to the next slide. Job 5 and verse 7, if we have it. Oh, there it is right there. Job 5 and verse 7. This is a really interesting statement. Now remember, Job lost everything in a very short amount of time. He was on top of the world. He had everything. He loved the Lord. Listen, this guy, Job, we're not going to go into deep detail on this guy, Job, but read the book of Job sometime. Job loved the Lord, man. He was devoted to God. And God allowed all kinds of craziness to come into his world. Job didn't get any warning. It just happened. Okay? Now, this is what Job says, Job 5 and verse 7. But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. You ever been around a campfire? You ever been around a bonfire? Sitting back and see little sparks flying up? They're going to come. They're going to happen, man. Them sparks are going to rise up. So Job knows exactly what he's talking about. Just like there's sparks that rise up in little fires, you are going to have troubles in this world. It's just going to happen. And we don't want to focus on that, but we want to leave here with the victory. Okay, yeah, we're going to have hard times. Raise your hands if you've been going through it. Yeah, all right. Raise your hands if you've ever been through it, right? That's just part of this world. But like I said, there's no wasted time for the believer. God's going to take what we go through, and he wants to bring something beautiful out of it. He wants to take these ashes and make something beautiful come out of it. And that is his specialty. That is what he excels at. One of the many, he excels at everything he does. But this is one of the great things he does, is he takes this broken mess that we've made ourselves, and he says, I'm going to make something beautiful out of this. And you say, that's how? Why would you do that? Well, number one, because I love you. My ways are above your ways. You just understand this. I love you, and we're going to make something beautiful out of this mess. Whatever it is, you know, that's the kind of God we serve. His specialty is taking our messes, whether you caused them or whether you didn't have anything to do with it, because rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, right? Can I get a witness? God says, I'm going to make something beautiful out of this. He's not saying everything you go through is beautiful, but he says, I'm going to work on this. We're going to work on this together, and it's going to be something beautiful. We're going to bring something beautiful out of this. Can I get a witness? Matthew 7, 24 and 25 again. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 25, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Two verses, we see the word rock twice, okay? We got to build our house on this rock. We're talking about a good foundation. Can I get a witness? Everybody knows what this rock is, but if you don't know, this rock is Jesus Christ. That's got to be our foundation, okay? It's got to be our foundation. Matter of fact, Mark 12 in verse 10. Let's look at Mark 12 in verse 10 real fast. This is Jesus Christ. Have you not read in Scripture? I love, this is the one of the things, Brother Skip, that I love about the New Testament is when Jesus or some New Testament saint says, have you not read? Or he points back to the Old Testament. Or when we see the prophecies in the Old Testament that are clearly pointing to the New Testament, pointing to Jesus Christ. We have this amazing book that is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is at our disposal. And don't let it collect dust anymore. This is our wonderful, what's that thing you get? It's a little booklet you get it when you got to build something. Like directions, instructions, manual, right? This is our manual for life right here. You know, we can be stubborn and try and do it on our own, but you're not going to be building on the rock. You got to have your foundation as the rock. Can I get a witness? Mark 12 and verse 10. Have you not read in Scripture? Jesus is pointing to Psalm 118, by the way. Have you not read in Scripture the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? Listen to what I'm saying here this morning. Jesus is saying, I am the cornerstone. I am the stone that we must build on, that must be our foundation. He's saying, I am the chief cornerstone. What he's saying is, I am the most important stone. The cornerstone, man, was what they would lay, and they would pull everything off of that. If they wanted things to be square, if you're building something, you need it to be as square as possible. Can I get a witness? Right? Because I used to be a cabinet guy, you know, and if the slab guy was a little off, which the slab guy was always off a little bit, because nothing's perfect. But, you know, by the time you got to putting them cabinets, man, if everything was a little bit off, by the time you put them cabinets up, man, they were all crooked and hanging, all weird. So we need a sure foundation. And Jesus Christ says, I am that stone. I am what everything, okay, the stone that the builders rejected. Jesus Christ is talking, he's talking about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious elite, the Sanhedrin. He's talking about the Jewish people that by and large, not everybody, but a lot of them, most of them rejected him as their Messiah. It was like you go to the quarry and you're finding that perfect stone that you can use for your building project. And there it was, that perfect, sinless, spotless lamb that all the prophecies were pointing to, Jesus Christ. And when the Jews saw it, they rejected it. No, this isn't how my Messiah, this isn't the Messiah I got in my mind. This isn't the Messiah. And they rejected him. God's not done with the Jews, so don't get me wrong. Amen. But see, the stone that the builders rejected was the precious stone, the most precious stone, the most valuable stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you not read in Scripture, the stone that the builders rejected have become the cornerstone? And look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 6. Jesus Christ, over and over again in Scripture, we see the Old Testament pointing to Jesus being this stone that is spoken of. Then we see all through the Gospels and all through the Pauline letters, all through the New Testament, Jesus Christ is this stone. 1 Peter 2 and verse 6. This is a good one. For it stands in Scripture. This is Peter talking. For it stands in Scripture. He's doing the same thing. He's pointing back to the Old Testament. He's going back to Isaiah. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone. I'm going to put something in Israel. God has ordained this amazing thing. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. See, all humanity hinges on this one moment in time. All of history, all of everything hinges on this one moment in time when Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose from the dead. The whole world changed when that happened. The whole world was pointing to it, and we get the privilege of looking back and seeing how everything fits so perfectly, beautifully in Scripture. We have wonderful confidence as a Christian. You know, so many other religions, quote unquote, you know, they don't have the peace that we have. If they do have a peace, it's not the rock. It's not a sure foundation. It's sand, and it's not going to be there for them when they truly need it. Matter of fact, it could mislead them into doing some crazy, wacky stuff Can I get a witness? I'm not here to pick on nobody, but this is the truth of the matter, that we have the privilege of seeing all these prophecies given thousands of years before they happen, and then boom, the impossibility of all these things happening just like Scripture foretold it. Just one of the many reasons why you can have peace and know that there's a God in heaven who loves you. Give the Lord some praise while I enjoy some of this water. How sweet it is. All God's people. Okay. 1 Peter 2 and verse 6. Behold, I am laying. This is something. This is a God thing. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. There ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. Behold, I am laying in Zion. So think about what I just said. If God said, if God before you, who could be against you? Let that mean something. This is something that God has said, not grandma. Well, maybe grandma told you about it. You know, but this is God saying, if I'm for you, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is a true statement, man. You know, I mean, think about that. You want to get your life back on track? You want to get closer to the good Lord, right? Huh? I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it, man. But I can do all things through Christ. Well, I want to be perfect overnight. Well, get in line, man. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. But he'll be with you day after day and minute after minute, man. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, that most valuable and precious stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him, that stone, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Talking about putting your faith in the right place, man. You will not be put to shame if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, that rock. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, people might hack on you, make fun at you, or whatever, you know. They might scribble in your Jesus fish on the back of your car. They might break off one of the fins or something like that. You know, but you know what? You will not be put to shame, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we're blessed, man, because we already did it. We know Jesus is Lord. But that does not relieve us from the calling that Jesus Christ has given us to go and make disciples of all men. So don't just be satisfied with your salvation, but we got to let that light shine. Moving forward, will not be put to shame. The Amplified is super cool, because the Amplified says this, talking about you will not be put to shame if you put your trust in the rock. Check this out. Whoever adheres to, or whoever follows, trusts in, or relies on him will never be disappointed in his expectations. So we can be disappointed at God sometimes, but that's because we don't understand what he's doing. That's because we don't see the big picture. And he sees the big picture, and we got to go back to that childlike faith of just trusting in our God. Just go back to that and just trust in him. But he says, you won't be disappointed. How many times in life have you tried to do something on your own and realized the best that you do is just mess everything up? Yeah, maybe just me. I don't know. So maybe it's just me. How many times have you followed some template or did something that you thought was going to be the fix-all to everything and just be disappointed? Or put your hope in some relationship, something like that, and be disappointed. Well, see, here's the thing. God says, you put your trust in this rock, you will not be disappointed. You will. It is the only thing that you can trust in 110%. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm saying sometimes people in your life will let you down. They probably don't even mean to, but the Most High God never will. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Next slide. Our foundation has got to be the rock. Our foundation has got to be Jesus Christ. Anything else is sinking sand. Matthew 7, 26 and 27. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, man, that's an ouch moment right there. You know, that can be very painful. But look at what Jesus is saying. You can be like the wise man and have your foundation be Jesus Christ, or this is the other choice. You have, you can choose one or the other. You can pick any other thing to put your faith in, yourself, your education, your trust fund, whatever, I don't know. But some phony baloney religion. But look, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, see, God, in Scripture, God tells us how to live our life. He tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God tells us how to live our life and how to keep ourselves from so much unnecessary pain. He doesn't say you're going to have a pain-free life, but he says this is how you handle the trials. This is how you handle the storms. This is what you need to apply to your life. This is what you need to do. But if we choose to reject what he tells us, then we truly are choosing to suffer. Choose to disobey God, we're choosing to suffer. And that's pretty sharp, man. You know, that stings a little bit. You know, especially someone like me that's made so many mistakes in life. But God clearly says it's all through Scripture. I want you to choose life. You have this choice. There's life and there's death. And then he goes on and says, look, choose life. You want to go down that road right there. That's the one you want to take. Yeah, it's like, you know, you get that, you got the big test, but you got the answers to the test. Whoop diddly doo. All God's people said, whoop diddly doo. I told you, man, I told y'all before, but I got to fill up a couple more minutes. I told y'all before in high school, I had this coach. Coaches that were teachers were like the absolute worst at teaching, you know? But they had to have that teaching job to be the coach, whatever, how that ever works. But I had this coach, man, and at some horrendous math, baby math, not real math, but some sort of math I was taking to get out of high school. And the coach, I don't know if he assumed I would be a struggling type. He knew me from football. I don't know. But everybody gets their books, and he gives me my book, and he's like, answers to everything are in the back of this book. And I'm like, are you serious? This is the best day of my life. I still failed because I didn't follow the instructions. I didn't fail. I did good in that class. But who wouldn't do good? You had all the... Anyways, moving forward. God gives us the answers. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them... True story, by the way, the thing about the book... And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Man, I don't want to go down that way. How would you like to have that on your tombstone? He was a bit of a foolish man. One thing. Yeah, never mind. And be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 27. And the rain fell and the floods came because the rain is going to come. The floods are going to come. The wind is going to blow. That's part of life. All right? And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. Why did it fall? Because he didn't listen. He didn't follow the specs, man. He didn't follow the building code. Jesus said, build it on the rock, man. He didn't do that. He built it on the sand. He built it on something false. He built it on something fake. He built it on something that looked good. But it wasn't going to be there when the rains come and get under that dirt foundation and washes that away. Then you got nothing, man, to hold that up. And it all falls over. Look, it says, and it fell. But it didn't just fall. Check this out. And the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And great was the fall of it. It didn't just fall. I was like, yeah, I think it's tipping a little bit. Martha, get the kids out. It really fell. So, man, we're going to come down hard. Eventually, you're going to come down hard. You're going to crash hard when you put your faith, your trust in something else, whatever it is. You know, everybody's working for the weekend. You're working for the paycheck. You're working to go out and do this, get you a little bit of that. Man, we can't put our faith and our trust in these things because there'll be a time and a place when they're not there for us. And everything that the world offers, let me just say this, man, true statement. I've tasted a bit of it, a little bit, a lot of bit sometimes. Everything the world offers, man, it gives, because it does give. It does. A lot of people won't tell you that. Everything the world offers gives, but it also takes away big time, man. Satan doesn't give you anything that doesn't have a cost to it. And it looks good and it shines and makes your tummy all smile and your mouth begins to water. It's a trap. It's like that dude in Star Wars said, it's a trap. Anyways, moving forward. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew 21 and 44. Talking about this rock this morning. Trying so hard to stay away from Dwayne The Rock Johnson comments. It's just right there. Go ahead and say it, man. It'll be cool. Can't do it. Matthew 21, 44. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, the priests. They're trying to say, in what authority are you doing these things? You're coming in the temple acting like you own the place. Matter of fact, you know, it was built for me. Yeah, it's mine. But they were questioning his authority. And he begins to talk about this rock that the builders rejected, talking directly to the Pharisees, saying, you guys are missing the whole thing. And the rejection, the pinnacle of the rejection is going to be the cross. But it's also the greatest, most beautiful thing in all history because he didn't stay dead. We'd be in a mess if he stayed dead. We might as well be golfing or out there playing with the kids or something, you know. But he didn't stay dead. This ain't some self-help bunch of guru nonsense, man. This is the way of life. This is the way of eternal life. Matthew 21 and 44, this is what Jesus said. And the one who falls on this stone, talking about himself, and the one who falls on this stone will be broken. Picture a dude walking, tripping over a rock, falling on another rock and smashing his head open, and the blood trickles down the rock and goes in the sand, and he just got broken. You don't have to picture that if you don't want to, but it don't hurt. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, so this is what's going to happen. You fight against Jesus Christ. You reject Jesus Christ. This is what you have to look forward to. I'm not trying to be dark. But remember, Jesus says, life and death are before you. Choose life. And so if we reject that, if we fight and kick against that, then this is what it's going to look like, okay? Either you're going to be smashed to pieces on that rock. That's a metaphor, by the way. Or the rock, Jesus Christ, is going to fall on you and crush you. That's what happens when we oppose what Jesus Christ is trying to do. When you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, when you say, I do not need this Jesus Christ in my life. I don't need that. I can do it on my own. I don't believe that nonsense. And the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you do. You need to believe in me. You have enough faith to believe in me. You have it. Give yourself to me. You do not want to reject this gift or the rock is going to crush you. Can I get a witness? But I really do like the picture of me voluntarily, not tripping and busting my head into a million pieces. I don't like that picture at all. But some of you might like that picture of me. But I do like the picture of me kneeling to the rock and falling on the rock myself and repenting of my sins. And saying, I need you. I need you to be my foundation. I've done nothing but mess everything up. Every time I try and do something right, boom, I mess up, man. Because I can't do it on my own. I need you. But I know I can do this through you because you promise in your word that I don't have to be fearful because you will be with me and you will help me. You know, and his word is true. You know, but see, there's that place where I fall on the rock voluntarily and repent of my sins and say, God, I need you. I need you now. I can't do this without you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's not on the bulletin. It's not on the list. But this is what we're shooting for, man. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone goes to that rock and kneels before that rock and lays on that rock, metaphorically, because I don't have any rocks for you to lay on. We're in Florida. It'd be hard-pressed for me to find a decent rock for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. That's what happens when we accept Christ. No, you might still have the same desires that you shouldn't have, but I have the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's not my power, but he that is in me is greater that is in the world. You know, it's not my power, but because I'm in this relationship now, I have access to everything I need to be that person God has called me to be. And you say, man, it's hopeless. It's the way for me to be back in any form of normalcy is just, I can't even begin to fathom that. Well, God can. God can. He's got a great plan for you. And he says, let's start today. Let's start today, man. I will get you there. I got a great plan for you. Christ, anyone who's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let's go to the next slide. Is everyone doing all right? So Psalm 11, 3 and 4, David has a really neat perspective on this whole foundation thing. Psalm 11, 3 and 4. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So here we go again. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can we do? As his saints, what can we do as Christian folks if the foundations are destroyed? Okay, what are you putting your faith in? What is your foundation? Because there is a foundation that cannot be destroyed. There is a foundation that is like that tree that is planted like by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Okay, there is that foundation that cannot be destroyed. But then the world offers many, many foundations which can be shaken and will be shaken, and there's a time and a place when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we're experiencing a little bit of shaking because God is saying, this ain't going to be here for you. This is not going to, you know, put your faith in your government. I might not be there for you. Put your faith in this. It's not going to be there for you. You know, I'm telling you, but God tells us, when the foundations are falling apart, you better go and build your house on that rock. You better get your house on that rock. Can I get a witness? Okay. Matter of fact, the great theologian Jimi Hendrix, there was some truth to this song that I dig. It's called Castles Made of Sand. And, you know, before I was saved, I'd drive around, sing the tune. You know, the music would be playing, I wouldn't just sing it. But and don't act like you don't sing to the music, you know. Man, I would do it all. I play the drums sometimes, driving down the road, or the guitar. I don't even play the guitar, but I'd be like, all God's people. But Jimi Hendrix had this song. It's called Castles Made of Sand. And so when I was doing my research, this popped into my mind. And this is the chorus to the song, if you do not know it. Matter of fact, if we could get this song on the monitors. I'm playing, we're not gonna do that. Just playing here. But see, this is the chorus to the song. Now listen up. And so castles made of sand fall in the sea eventually. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. A castle made of sand, whatever you put your trust in other than Christ, it's not going to be there. Sorry I wasted 2 minutes of your life, but that's there's the truth in that song, man. These guys, these competitions, man, these people build these amazing castles, you know, whatever these structures, these beautiful things on the beach, they're not going to be there long at all. Matter of fact, when I see somebody, very rarely, but if I see somebody working on something like that on the beach, in my heart, I have to fight so hard from not just going and like diving on it. You're just like doing like when them karate falls on, you know, and there's whap, bam, snap into a slim jump. But you might as well, it's not going to be there long. It's not going to be there. There ain't no rock to it, man. There's no real foundation to it. But we have a foundation that's not going anywhere. So we don't have to live in fear. And if we want to get our life back on track, if we want to say no to what we need to say no to, if we want to go deeper and mature in our relationship with the Lord to be that person God has called us to be, he said, we can do this, man. You got the right building blocks. You got this foundation. Now let's move forward. Okay, so anyways, Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Verse 4. Now, this is what we got to understand. When it looks like everything's falling apart, because everything's kind of falling apart a little bit. But this is what we need to understand. You're going through the trial. You're going through the storm. You done messed up again, whatever it is. Verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. What does that mean? That means he's not shaken by what's going on down here. He's not stressed out about it. He is still firmly in control and will stay in control. He is going to be in control, and he is my Father. And he says, you got this foundation. If you continue to trust in me, you don't have to lose any sleep. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to be anxious like the world. You belong to me. We cool? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, the eyelids test, the children of men. God sees what you're going through. I feel like I'm all alone in this one. I hope that's not the case. But I know if you're a Christian, that's not the case. I know if you're a Christian, that is absolutely not the case, because God is watching over you. Matter of fact, I think one of the most beautiful parts of the Psalms is when David says, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to sleep like a baby, because I know God's watching over me. You know, if anything slips into that tent, because God allowed it. You know, there's a wonderful peace that God has for us. Can I get a witness? Let's close with this. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Christ has got to be that foundation. Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock. This is David again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. David knows a little bit about trouble. He knows a little bit about trouble. He knows a little bit about trouble that he didn't have nothing to do with. Trouble just found him. But he also knew about trouble where he decided, I'm going to go ahead and disobey God because this looks like fun. I want to do this. He knows what it's like from both sides of it. Sometimes that rain just falls on you. Sometimes you go out there and dance in it. You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? The Lord is my rock and my fortress. So he says, this rock that is stronger than me, this rock is my fortress. He was a warrior. He was a warrior. It doesn't matter if you are a serf or a peasant. You knew what a fortress was. When the enemy was coming, you wanted to get to that fortress. You wanted to get to that safe place, man. Okay. And David says, my fortress isn't actually something made with brick and mortar and rocks and stone. It is the stone that the builders rejected. It is the Most High God. It is the second man of the Trinity. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the triune God. And I run into his presence when I'm going through a hard time, or when I've messed up for the 50th time in the day. You know what I mean? I run into his presence. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Isn't that good? He's not just going to protect me through the mess that maybe I created, but he's going to get me through the mess. He is going to deliver me. And my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. He's going all the way back around. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my shield. He says that I am your shield. The rock is your shield to block those fiery darts, right, Scott? You're talking about this the other. Hit those fiery darts that Satan throws at you, man, that you don't have any control over them, man. Those wicked, evil thoughts that Satan will throw at you, man, you got to repel them things, you know what I mean, with the shield. Say, no, I'm not going to let that thing take root in me. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give that any ground. I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation. So the horn, when you hear about horns in Scripture, it's talking about strength. It's talking about victory. Picture a bull with big old horns, raising his head up in victory because it just gored that clown or something. But you think about a bull, very strong, the horns represent victory, represent strength. And God, and David is saying, God is my horn, man. He is my strength. He is strong. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my fortress, my stronghold. This is our foundation. This is my foundation. And I don't have to be shaken. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to live in this place physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, where God doesn't want me to be. I put my trust in Him. I stand on that foundation. And I dig into the Word of God, man. I spend time with Him. You know what I mean? Let God be true and every man a liar. Because everything else is going to mess you up. It's not going to be there for you. And everything that we've talked about today is about relationship. The rock is Jesus. The foundation is your relationship with Jesus, standing on that, which, yes, is eternal life. Eternal life don't sound half bad, does it? I don't want to sit on some cloud for millenniums playing a harp. Don't sit on a cloud for, I don't know. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It'll be better than we can imagine. Better than we can even begin to fathom. Your mind cannot even relate. But mine can. No, I'm playing. Your mind cannot even ascertain the wonderful majesty that God has for us. You know what I mean? But it's only for the believer. Well, that seems pretty cruel. No, it's not cruel at all. All you have to do is accept the gift. All you have to do is accept the gift. It's not about being perfect. It's about accepting that perfect gift. And the blood of Jesus Christ washes away your sins. You know, so if you're not a Christian, man, you got to do that. You got to do that today. Don't put it off for another day. This is the day. So listen, this is how it works. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All you got to do is accept what Jesus Christ did for you at that cross, and you can have eternal life. But it's really much more than eternal life. It's an eternity with your Lord and Savior and growing in relationship with Him and letting Him use you. Lord knows we can't even begin to fathom the wonderful, amazing things He has for us to do. You're not going to be bored, I can tell you that much. I can definitely tell you that much. Okay, but here's the deal. The wages of sin is death, not just dying, not just, okay, took my last breath, now I'm gone. That's part of it. That's part of the fall. That's part of the world we live in. But death is separation. Separation from our God for all eternity. Torment like we cannot fathom. So that's the choices that we have. But God says, choose life. Choose life, man. I want you to choose life. Here's the answer. All you got to do is mark it in. Say, okay, choose life. All you got to do. See, Jesus did the hard part. He did the hard part. He died on that cross. He destroyed death. He destroyed the grave. He paid for our sins. So when you say, I don't want you to pay for my sins, you're saying, I'll pay for my sins myself. The wages of sin is death. You cannot reject this precious gift. And you do have enough faith to believe this right now, what I'm telling you. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat after me this simple prayer. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this simple prayer. It doesn't have to be fancy words, but I'm saying this to the Most High God. So if you want to receive Christ, just repeat this after me. Dear Lord, I am a sinner. I have fallen short in many ways. I have broken your law. And I am guilty and worthy of eternal damnation. But you were the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. I know that you are the Son of God. I know that you died for my sins, Jesus. And you rose from the dead on the third day. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. and I will serve you from this day forward as your servant and a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.